Blog Talk Radio.
This is what it is, okay? I said, empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now, you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now, water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darrow, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Good evening, folks. The gang is all here. This is the Grindhouse edition of Afro-Nerd Radio. The call-in number, as always, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Listen, we have a lot to get into. You're going to hear a lot of verve from the kid regarding this Fantastic Four reboot starring Michael B. Jordan as allegedly, reportedly, purportedly, Michael B. Jordan from Fruitvale Station. He is going to be the Human Torch. We've heard that for a while, but the full cast has been announced, and we will dig in deep. But before we do that, we'll give you about a minute of nerdcore groove, and then we're going to dig in. This is Mutants in America. Mutants in America, Adam Warrock. Oh, about a minute. So let's get to it. Let's groove. We'll be right back.
Little child grown, little mind blown. She put a hole in the wall second she woke from sleeping. And her parents watched, and they thought about, she need religion or something, there wasn't nothing keeping. Another way to separate her from the kids today. She felt ugly inside, and so she made her way to Jean Grey School for higher learning. And stepped inside a mansion with the fire inside burning. Taught her how to focus her energy. They taught her humans were not the enemy. Just scared, the same as her. Gave her a name, gave her a purpose in this world. And every time she saved a person, know they're saving her. And so the yellow and blue, maybe the black and the gold. And after all she's been through, maybe look back when you're old. Maybe a nation together that never did as they're told. And it's starting with saving a little girl all alone.
Little John, you're a mutant in America. Everybody's scared of you.
Little boy full of anger and the kind of rage that kept him constantly in trouble till he find his way. Maybe his eyes would shoot rays, maybe his skin was metal, maybe he's psychic or telekinetic, man, whatever. And so they called him Muti, a freak, even though his parents told him beauty was skin deep. But what's beneath, you know, the X gene that made him different. Yo, and Professor X would have told him you should never listen. People say that your powers are mistake. He believed that those flaws were what made you great. And look how many of us now stand tall and face the greatest challenges here on the United States. And I believe that you and me, we're not so different, cause our genes are just the way we look to people who don't see something beneath. I see it too, how can I convince you? That's my mutant power, I see the potential in you.
Alright, enough. The great Adam Warrock, Mutants in America. Let's just get to it, folks. Captain, it's your time. You're needed on the bridge and engineering thereafter. Let's get to it.
Let's
go, gentlemen, with the debacles. Let's go.
Yes, and that is exactly what it is. And, of course, the uncanny Daryl B.
Mike, thanks for the U.S. hockey team for putting me in such a mood. Someone's going to get ripped apart.
All right, gentlemen, listen, let's just dive on in. I'm a bit fiery, or let's say more fiery than usual. Of course, what came out last week was this casting news. We heard about Michael B. Jordan, and I think that caused some murmurs throughout the nerdverse on the Internet. But it's not even about Michael B. Jordan for me, per se. A little bit, but it's more about this general casting. It's a younger cast, and it seems as if we're not getting the source material is not really getting respected. Dow, opening up to you, behind the scenes briefly, right before we went on air, you talked about Andrew Wheeler's article in Comics Alliance. Folks, go to comicsalliance.com. He unpacks on this. It's called Fox's Fantastic Four Reboot, What the FF? Pretty
right.
Cool that. So what's up here?
All right. I'll say it like this. Wheeler does something that I totally agreed with, okay? He looks at the lineup, all right? And he nitpicks each and every one of them. But then at the end of his article, he states, you know what? It's a right idea to go young because you want to build the franchise. But in his opinion, and I have to agree, all the actors, except for the Invisible Woman, which proves to me that the actress cast that there's no true blondes in Hollywood anymore, but I digress. All the actors cast are in the wrong roles, okay? And he starts off with the actor playing the thing should be the one playing Human Torch. He goes, the actor playing Mr. Fantastic should be the one that's the thing, and Michael B. Jordan should be Mr. Fantastic because of how he came across in Chronicle. And I sat back and I thought about it. And like I said, I'm of two minds because, yes, this is the right idea because you want to franchise this. And you need the youngest actors possible for the role that still look like they fit the role. And on this air, I've long been a proponent for Michael B. Jordan getting a chance to be Human Torch, all right? To not be denied because of race and creed, because of the times we live in. The way I look at it is, hey, you know what? We had a good Human Torch before. He's now Captain America, all right? That guy, that actor's already been correctly portrayed in cinema. So if you want to take a chance with it, go ahead and take a chance. All right? There's got to be some, and Michael B. Jordan said this last week, too, in several interviews. You know, hey, these characters were made when we weren't really having a chance. You know, if you want to open up the mythos to minority representation, have minority representation. You know, or at least give them a chance to try out for the roles. And that's something I 100% agree with. The problem here, and like I said, I agree with Andrew Wheeler, is that these actors are miscast in their roles. You know, I look at it because, again, we're going to go more into it. But for each role, all right, I like Michael B. Jordan as Human Torch. I could see him playing Human Torch. But you know what? I could also see him playing Mr. Fantastic, too. All right? The guy that they have as Mr. Fantastic, I don't see as Mr. Fantastic. But he makes a good Thing, you know? And the guy that's playing Thing, he could be either Mr. Fantastic or Human Torch. But I don't see him as the Thing, you know? It's just... this is a real risky move, all right? And Mark Millar is consulting them on this, all right? He had to give part of the go-ahead on this. So if he signed off on it, we got to grin and bear it. But you know what, Fox? This better work. Because if it doesn't work, if you don't give these guys a great script, if they don't come across believable, then guess what? You've Batman and Robin the franchise. Captain?
No. I'm going to bring everybody into the obvious reality that's right in front of everybody's face that people have a tendency to miss. This is obvious reality. Marvel has put everybody under pressure, even the audience, put them under pressure, raising the expectations to a next level. What does Marvel do? It's not just the storylines and everything else. They use great actors. That's what they're doing, and actresses. That's what they're doing. That creates big pressure. You understand? You go back and look at some of these Marvel installments. Look at Iron Man. Look at, you know, Thor. Look at the Avengers. You understand? Now let's pull all of that out of the mix. Let's say none of those movies were here. Along comes the Fantastic Four movie. Do we go this hard on this type of movie? No, we don't. We just would say, let's just see what will happen. We have a few comments. We'd say, the cast is probably not right. You know, I don't know if it's going to, you know, be like the comic and everything else. Can they adapt the comic to the screen? But we don't go this hard. Look at what Marvel is doing. Marvel uses great actors and actresses. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. You don't have that here. You don't have it here. You don't have it. So far as I'm concerned, they're in trouble. They're in trouble right out the gate. In comparison to the competition, you pull Marvel out of it, it's not a problem. But because you do have Marvel there, it's a problem. It's a problem. Now, from what I understand, the movie comes out in 2015. That's what I understand. That's what I hear. That's what they're saying. Now, we are going to see it, and we see what happens. But right now on paper, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good right now to me. But I'll give it a chance. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, a couple of things. The Wheeler article, again, I would implore our audience to check it out. Andrew Wheeler's article entitled Fox's Fantastic Four Reboot, What the FF, comicsalliance.com. He really waxes on this fairly effectively by saying, and listen, he's going into a territory that you and I and all of us have really spoken about before, is that these comics were created, forget about 1950s values, more like 1930s values. These comic books date back to the late 1930s. You could even go further back than that if you include pulp. If you include pulp, then you might as well add another 15 years preceding that, if you want to go into it. Or I should say even more than that, 1890s is when you start to talk about pulp fiction. Wheeler talks about this, about the values and sensibilities as a euphemism for racism. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Our issue is that it starts at the source.
Afro Nerd. He did it again.
The mic went out, Afro Nerd.
He did it again. Folks, live radio once again at the comic shop. We roll with the punches.
We roll with the punches here. All right?
But
all right. Darryl, you want to comment a little more on this?
Just to let folks know who I'm the actors I'm talking about. It's Miles Teller that's going to be Reed Richards. Kate Mara from the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is going to be Sue Storm. We already talked about Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm. And Jamie Bell, who is an accomplished actor, as Ben Grimm. It's just, like I said, the way Teller said it, the way Wheeler said it, it was so perfect. He says that I love the actors, all right, but he thinks they're in the wrong roles. Now, I don't have as much love for the actors as he does, you know, but I think they're just in the wrong roles here, you know. And as Afro Nerd's about to say, one of the keys to him is identifying with the actor that's in the role. What he read in the comics, what he's been reading in the comics, you know, Cap?
All right. I believe we have AfroNerd back here. Let's bring him back in. AfroNerd.
Yeah. Thanks. My system went completely kaput, Captain. So I'm, it is what it is. I'm logging back in, so I'm glad you noticed that. I couldn't, I'm going blind somewhat. Matt Murdock style. All right. As I was saying, is essentially we're talking about these sensibilities as a euphemism for racism, but it starts back at the source material. And anytime we talk about these fake reboots with DC 52 as the source material, they do a 360 reboot as opposed to a 180 reboot. 360, they say, oh, we're going to reboot things, we're going to do everything, everything's going to be different. No, you reboot a complete circle back to where we started. You rebooted back to 1950. That's the problem. When we had the Ultimate Universe, they should have made the Ultimate Universe in Marvel multiracial, all this gender stuff, all the sexual politics, whatever they needed to do to bring us up to the 21st century, they should have rebooted that entire universe from top to bottom to get the younger folks back into the comic book shops, back into the specialty shops. And they refuse to do it. They do 360 instead of 180. We're able to accept Sam Jackson as Nick Fury because, like nerds, like the geeks, well, it's in the Bible. It's in print. It's in print. We can go with that. You know, this new Falcon that's not wearing, and thank God for that, the red and white disco outfit that he's still wearing. And they need to straighten that out, too, in the 616 universe. We're accepting this Falcon because, you know what? He looks exactly like the ultimate version of Falcon. But the source material, in order for the... Because you have to address the base. We see this in politics. In politics, on the Republican side and on the Democratic side, we see, even politically, that there's the base and there's everybody else. And you have to satisfy, even though the base may not be numerically equivalent to everybody else, guess what? The powers that be, they're concerned with that base. That should be applied to how the comic book universe is worked. That they need it. This whole thing about somewhat disregarding the base when it comes to the comic shop nerds. And Marvel Entertainment now, not Fox, not Sony, Marvel seems to get that. Marvel is encroaching on Pixar level or Pixar consistency as far as their products are concerned. We'll talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy coming up. Hopefully their Pixar-esque consistency, hopefully that will not be ruined with Guardians of the Galaxy. That's going to be the test case, where it looks like Marvel can do no wrong. But aside from that, the main thing is they refuse to make these changes top to bottom in the source material. So people who are familiar with the source material as it is expect that to be seen on film. And I don't know if that's not unfair. I don't know if it's unfair for that expectation to be there. We'll go to another topic, but I'm just concerned, Daryl. What are your thoughts on that? I know you're very proactive for multicultural casting, as am I. But I think we skip a process the way that it's done. Hollywood just does whatever the F wants to do. They skip a process for something. Something is wrong to me.
Well, again, with other material, all right, I would say okay, but keep in mind, I will say it again, we had two Fantastic Four movies. Arguably the best thing about those two movies was Chris Evans in the role as Human Torch, because he was the one that felt the most realistic, the closest one to what you read in the funny books, you know? So that's why I said why I maintain that with Jordan in the role, we already had the correct human torch. That is not a problem, all right? Now, this is where people get it screwed. When I make my explanations, and I've argued with fans on Facebook, I've argued with fans on Hotmail, I've argued with fans at comicmovie.net, you know, or comicbookmovie.net, all right? I'm not saying hand us the role. I've never said, you know, you should just give him the role. All I've maintained, all right, is if the actor is good enough, we're at an age now where they should be allowed to try out for the part, all right? So most of the arguments I've heard is, well, he can't ever get it because he's black, or he or she can't ever get it because she's this, or... And I often maintain, okay, tell me the hero that isn't a stereotype that was created back then that they're suited for, that would be suitable for their audiences today, and I'll wait. You know, that's the main thing. That's the main thing I have, all right? You may have a problem with how I'm thinking about it, but if the door isn't open then, who's going to open the door now? You know, that's what I maintain. And we could say all we want. We need our own figures up there. But if there's not a crack in the door, if there's not an opening in the door yet, how are we going to get that chance? That's what I maintain. And to end it off of this, I'm glad to see that the Ultimate Universe is doing what they're doing with the all new Ultimates. All right? With that ethnic team. And I hope that gains traction, because I know that it isn't going to be, oh, in the next Avengers movie, it's going to be Miles Morales. It's going to be Jessica Drew. It's going to be Cloak and Dagger. I know that's not going to be the next one. But if they have a good run in print, similar to Young Avengers, similar to the Runaways, if they get a good run in print, then later down the line, 5 years from now, 6 years from now, maybe if I ever have kids, that'll be the heroes that'll be in the thing, and it won't be unusual to see a Latino, an Asian, an Arab in those roles. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I'm inclined to think like Dennis Cowan, that he was on to something. We discussed this the last show. And he felt that, you know, just replacing a white role for a black actor, like just colorizing the role, can be problematic. You know, I don't know. I think there's something there. Captain, to give a period on this.
I didn't hear what you said there, because you went double voice. You had an echo to your voice.
Your thoughts.
You still got an echo.
He's speaking from the cave. Anyway. No, he wants you to put a period on this.
Now I got it here, because I couldn't, you know, when he was speaking, everything was echoed out on my line. Well, I do have a problem colorizing the characters. You know, I definitely do have a problem with that. But
for the sake of colorizing them.
For the sake of colorizing. Exactly. That's definitely a problem. That's more or less just, let me give you a few crackers off the table of my feast that I'm eating over here. Here you go. Here you guys go. You take that, you know? Come get a hot dog off the feast that I'm having. That's what it seems like is going on, essentially, when you're doing that sort of thing. So I definitely have a problem with that. But you understand, there's a lot going on here with these movies. And sometimes these people, these suits, they just overthink the process. They're thinking too much. That's why I say what I said in the beginning, back with Marvel. These individuals are under pressure because of how Marvel does it. Marvel does it right. They get it. And these people, instead of just, they don't want to follow suit. They want to try to do something different. Sometimes you just have to go with the formula until the formula doesn't work anymore. Sometimes this is what you have to do. You have to do that. You know? That's just what it is. I think they're overthinking too much. And when they overthink it, what happens? You mess it up. And to me right now, it looks messed up. We'll see in 2015. That's all I'm going to say about it. Back over to you, Sir Affleck.
All right, let's go to a quick Nerdcore groove, gentlemen, when we get back. Of course, there's more discourse. Let's talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, extended trailer, and just also the expectations for the movie, because more and more outlets, media outlets, blogs, they're discussing, you know, they're making, of course, the Avengers versus Star Wars analogies with this thing. We do know that it's Marvel's attempt at essentially providing a cosmic imprint. So you are encroaching, they are encroaching on Star Wars territory. But we are talking about a rather obscure product or obscure intellectual property. We will see just how well it does. If it does very well, then Marvel can essentially do no wrong. So that we got to get into it. So, folks, when we get back, more discourse, this time Guardians of the Galaxy. A quick groove. This is Rap Viper by The Word Burglar. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
The Rap Viper, superbly trained to drop dimes on your mind as I'm scanning your brain. Cobra for life. My parents met at the Terradrome, Rocker Beach Boardwalk. Now there's my home. Dad worked at Arco. Mom was a televiper. Was flying rattlers when you could still smell my diapers. Lyrical sniper, delivered without obstacle. My Dr. Venom at Cobra Island Hospital. Diabolical, my style deadly like a lobulus. Speakers on my back, me a rapper, synonymous. Major Blood got me into writing poetry. Riding hydrofoils when the eels used to flow with me. And now they know it's me, every single place I go. Rallying the troops, getting play on Cobra Radio. Sonic Fighter, my primary specialty is that I rhyme very freshly. Rap Viper, never spit blanks. Play me from the fang to the bugs to the hip tank. String field to the Cobra Citadel. Across the globe and you know I give them hell. Rap Viper, never spit blanks. Play me from the fang to the bugs to the hip tank. Cold slither in the Cobra Citadel. Around the globe and you know I give them hell.
This is the Grindhouse, Afro Radio's Grindhouse. Next up, I want to discuss Guardians of the Galaxy, gentlemen. The trailer was released last week. It looks, again, this is a Marvel Entertainment product. It looks like they came up off of the pages of the comic book, at least the recent interpretation. Now, this is where things get a little murky. The Guardians of the Galaxy date back to the late 60s, but there have been so many different iterations, interpretations, you know, exchanges of members of the Guardians of the Galaxy, but the latest Guardians of the Galaxy that's on the news, I shouldn't say, I was about to say the newsstand. They have no more newsstands anymore. It's in the specialty shops and on the internet, courtesy of places like Comixology, the digital version, the digital print of Guardians of the Galaxy. that has jumped off of the screen, your computer screen, and of your pages. Even that's been changed now. No more pulp pages, glossy comic pages. It's literally jumped off the comic pages onto the silver screen. And speaking of minority cross-racial casting, this is interesting. You have the beauteous Zoe Saldana as Gamora, one of the lead characters of the Guardians of the Galaxy. And that, because she's green, really, that could have gone to a white actress. But, hey, she looks like Gamora. And she's black, but she's green now. So, Captain, I guess what I'm going to ask is, what did you think about the trailer? And also, do you think that putting the Marvel stamp on this is enough to translate this into big money, big box office, for a property that really isn't that well known?
Okay. Great question. Great questions. Great questions. First thing I will say, the Marvel versus DC is starting to remind me of the era when we had Disco Sucks movement. Marvel represents the rock genre, and DC is starting to represent the Disco Sucks group. Time will tell. But now, pertaining directly to what you just asked, I looked at this trailer, and I said, okay, it looks just like the comic book. I said, that's great. That's great for the geeks and nerds. Absolutely. But now, because this is what they say now, the movies that are doing well, they all have dark overtones. Right? This is what they say. This right here was very fun, and I thought it was refreshing. And if anybody can take a chance, Marvel can take a chance, and they have earned the right to take a chance. It looks like something that's going to be fun, guys. It's not going to be necessarily all, you know, dark, overcast, like what they did with Man of Steel and everything, made Superman dark and everything else. This is something different. And I think it may work because we have all of these other type of movies that are pretty much dark, overcast. This just looks like they're having fun here based on the trailer. So I think if anybody can take a chance, it's Marvel, because they've earned the right to take a chance, and they seem to be able to do it right and give the people what they want. Now, does just putting the name Marvel on there do it? It might, based on their track record, you know? Based on their track record. You might just see Marvel and say, okay, this doesn't really look like when I'm used to seeing, it's not dark, but let me give it a shot. And you go to the movie, and you have some fun. You're like, oh, this is just ridiculous. Real refreshing. That's what it looks like is going to happen here with this movie. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Daryl, a game show host. Daryl, what are your thoughts on this thing? Do you think it's going to make that transition? We do know that Iron Man was a tertiary character, not necessarily well-known by the larger public, and it's a billion-dollar franchise and really is more popular than Superman. So how do you think this is going to play out this summer?
Well, you picked the perfect hero in cinema to compare this to. Remember when Iron Man came out, there was nothing that had that sense of fun, all right? So that's the perfect comparison to this, okay? Of course, it's just a trailer. We have to see the movie, all right? But I laughed out loud at the trailer. I was having fun with the trailer, okay? And three things the trailer did that people may not know. I heard guys ripping on the trailer online. Oh, it's too hokey. Oh, this ain't the Guardians of the Galaxy. Who are these? Oh, so I know that these guys complaining have not picked up a Marvel Cosmic book in the past 10 years. Because if you read Annihilation, if you read Annihilation Conquest, if you read the recent DNA Dan Abner and Dan and Andy Lanning version of the Guardians of the Galaxy, that's the team that's on there. So there's displacement number one. You could tell who's the real Marvel cosmic expert and who are just faking the funk. And credit to Marvel, too. To coincide with this, they're releasing not just the 60s run of Guardians of the Galaxy and reprints, but they're also doing Valentino's 90s run and reprints, too. So there's something out there for the old fan with this in the news, okay? Two, this is, people don't realize it, but each and every one of these characters has to die to Thanos. Ah, better bunch you out there forgot the Thanos link in Avengers. So if this movie does very well, you could see, because Gamora was partly trained by it. The main baddie Nebula in this is essentially Thanos' daughter, all right? Because, like, Drax the Destroyer, his one purpose was to kill Thanos, all right? Groot, his world was nearly destroyed by Thanos. And Rocket Raccoon and Star-Lord, well, all you have to read is Thanos' Imperative and Annihilation Conquest to know they don't exactly have the greatest personalities with them. So if this does very well, you might see one or two cameos in the Avengers 3 movie. All right? They're laying down that framework here, too. And finally, and this is the big one for me, what I was looking for in the Star Wars prequels, i.e. 1 through 3, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and the big war to do, you know, it was supposed to be serious, but the thing about the previous trilogy with Star Wars is there's supposed to be an undercurrent of fun, all right? You're supposed to have, yes, you'll have your serious moments. Yes, you'll have your dramatic moments. But you were supposed to have some fun. Outside of the pod race, there wasn't anything really, really fun about those Star Wars movies. All right? Something Marvel is doing is they've noticed their trend. Just like Captain said, they noticed the trend out there. They noticed their own trend where everything was getting a little too hardcore serious. Right? So they had Avengers, and Avengers was fun. You know, it was serious, but it was fun at the same time. Funny parts, you know. They've had Iron Man. And now, with Robert Downey Jr. sort of like taking the step back, this could be, it could be one episode, one movie, or it could be a franchise. But you could see that these guys had fun doing this. And you talk to all the actors, they had fun, and hopefully that comes across in the movie. Because when was the last cosmic epic that was fun? You know, Ender's Game? No. After Earth? No. You know, you kind of need fun, too. There needs to be a funny something for the audience to grip on. And, you know, Star-Lord and Rocket Raccoon, if that isn't Green's fun, I don't know what does. Afronerd?
All right, we have a caller, and before we go to the call, I do want to mention one thing. You know, I think you tapped into something, but I want to go a bit deeper briefly, is that I think it's just time for another space opera. I mean, Star Wars is distinctly different than Star Trek, but Star Wars taps into sci-fi slash
Western
fantasy, a Western too, but it has a lot of different genres involved in it. But it has a lot to do with being space opera. Flash Gordon somewhat tapped into this in the late 70s, early 80s. But as far as a full length, franchised out space opera, Star Wars reigns supreme. You know, when you think about how Star Wars matches up with Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy definitely does hit some cylinders that are very similar to a space opera. I mean, you have the Chewbacca, you have Groot, you have Star-Lord, who has kind of this lineage, Princess Leia has that lineage. There's some things going on here. So it's definitely meant to be a cosmic space opera, but it's not Star Wars. So I think if it does well, especially since Star Wars is coming up the following year, I think we need something to kind of balance out the Star Wars thing, because Star Wars is a 40-year-old franchise. This is something different. So I hope that we see this to fruition. I hope it does well. I'm finding out that Bradley Cooper's voice, that there's some footage of Rocky Raccoon speaking. So that should be interesting. And also, in courtesy of Entertainment Weekly, I put the link up in the chat room. They make reference somewhat jokingly. The writer says this is kind of a wish fulfillment thing. But he throws out there that maybe we can see Ryan Gosling as Adam Warlock.
I've done that one.
Yeah, Adam Gosling as Adam Warlock. Now, that will be cool in a lot of different points, because that just adds to the cachet that Marvel has with getting top-flight actors for quote-unquote goofy comic book stuff that's not really that goofy. So they may need someone like a Ryan Gosling to be the golden boy, literally. Let's go to the phones. Let's open it up. This is the Grindhouse, 703. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from. Let's get it in.
Hey, everybody. This is Bice for Life, call from outside D.C.
How's doing, Bice?
Sir, as always.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I don't know if you guys have heard. I just saw it come across on Twitter. They cast Black Panther, cast his father, and his little Wayne. That's T'Chaka.
Okay, serious. This has got to be a joke.
Yeah.
No, I'm just messing with you guys.
That goes right there with LeBron and Space Jam 2.
Yeah.
Oh, you know you're going to be there, Daryl B. You're going to be there at the midnight show. Hey,
he's so not Michael Jordan, so forget that.
I know I came in late, so I know I missed all the Michael B. Jordan talk, so I'll just catch the podcast later on that, so I won't backtrack. But my only fear of the Guardians of the Galaxy, the trailer convinced me. But is this going to be Buckaroo Banzai, or is this going to be something new and fresh? I'm hoping it's something new and fresh, but science fiction has kind of hit a even though people tend to forget Avatar for some strange reason, it seems like big sprawling science fiction has kind of hit a bump. If Star isn't in the title, what do you guys think?
You know, Buckaroo Banzai, that is not a bad comparison too. A motley crew, you know, fantastic characters, fun, but there is a danger there. Like, I love Buckaroo Banzai, but at the same time, it did get a little too weird for audiences, and they were like, "What the hell is this going on? I'm lost." You know, so there is a danger of that. Yes. You're totally correct. There is a danger that they may get too cheeky for their own good.
And do you think I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, do you think this is the type of film that its story will propel people to go to the movies, or will star power bring people in? Because I don't think Pratt is, you know, he's not a big name. I mean, he has a niche thing. I think Saldana, you know, I think she has a niche following. I don't know. Do you think it's enough star power to pull people into the theaters?
I tell you what's going to happen. Well, first, we're hearing that Iron Man may or may not be there somewhere. That might be interesting because Iron Man did. There was a story arc where Iron Man was with this thing. I don't, you know, that would
he
be interesting.
Is.
That might be a linchpin. That, you know, a linchpin that might be necessary. I just get leery of that because then you're being a little over dependent on Robert Downey Jr. So there's a balance to these kind of things. So, but you know, if the word gets out, listen, Benicio del Toro was in this. I mean, you have top flight actors. If there's some cameos of some people in there. You know, Bradley Cooper has cachet. He He's doing the voice. Heck, Vin Diesel's doing Groot. I mean, the word gets out. If the story is this good, gotta be good. See, sometimes it could just be star power, and that, you know, sometimes that can be enough. But at the core, if it's good, raucous fun, and the word gets out, it will be a legitimate hit. So we got to see how this is going to play out cinematically.
And you got a perfect example of that in the theaters now. Look at the Lego Movie. All right, it was Lego Movie. It's for kids. When I first saw the listings, there was nothing for the Lego Movie past 10 o'clock. All right? So it was essentially morning up until 10 because they figured kids ain't going to be hanging out late to watch this thing. Parents ain't going to be taking them that late to the movies. But what they found was that parents took their kids early, and then they brought their spouses and girlfriends and boyfriends in later to check it out for a date, as a date, because they're like, it's for kids. But you know what? This is really fun. Let's go back. Let's go watch. As a result, that's been the number one movie in the theaters for, what, 2 weeks now? 2.5 weeks? I think if done well, Guardians of the Galaxy will be like that. People will bring kids to it, seeing, oh, it's a talking raccoon and a walking tree. Oh, that's great. And go like, whoa, this is a Marvel movie. Kids won't catch on to those overtones. They'll catch on to the funny lines, the on base humor, you know, like that. But the medium to late adult who's not a comic book fan, if it's done right, they'll see, hey, it's funny, but it's also a gripping space drama.
Hey, Deeber, can I ask a comic question?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Hey, I just want to throw it out to you and Daryl B. Have you been checking out any of the Valiant titles? Shadow Man. Very good. I just, you know, just hope, you know, we can, you know, eventually squeeze some comic talk in there. But that Shadow Man comic, I mean, Valiant has almost jumped to the top of my favorites. I mean, just within the last few months. I just hope, you know, you guys can squeeze some comic talk in tonight. And I'll hang up and listen.
Hey, Bice,
okay,
just to tell you, I've been collecting Archer and Armstrong, Harbinger, all right? I've been taking up Unity, all right? And, folks, the character Livewire, all right? Not talking about the Legion of Superheroes character. The character Livewire. If you want a strong black woman in comics, take a look at that. Just pay attention to Livewire in Unity, and you'll thank me later, okay? But Valiant, they have done next to nothing wrong on this reboot, all right? And notice I haven't mentioned Exo Man of War or Quantum and Woody yet. They have just about hit. They're hitting it. My problem with them is they starting in May, they're expanding by like 7 more titles right away. I'm not too sure about that. They've been doing good building their way up, okay? Hopefully they don't do a Dynamite and overreach and then have to pull back, like how Dynamite did with the Kirby Genesis stuff. You know, there's a tense, oh, it's working, we'll overreach, and then you have to try to pull back suddenly, all right? But Valiant's been going good. That's a selection for the folks, and if you want a diverse casting in your comics too, check out Valiant. They've been doing a good job of that. Afro-Nerd?
Yeah, you know, we do have to put some more emphasis on the Valiant books. I'm familiar with, what's the one you just mentioned, Daryl?
Archer?
No.
Bloodshot?
No. The one with the telekinetic powers and the, it's like an
Harbinger.
X-Men type of book. Harbinger, yeah. I was buying into, because Harbinger, that's probably what's the second or third iteration of Harbinger?
Third.
I started getting into the latest one, and then our local, does Donna really carry Harbinger? She was, and then she wasn't.
Oh, she is. I'll make sure she gets more.
You know, that's what happens with me. You know, sometimes, it depends on the comic book retailer where you're into certain things, and then when you stop getting them, maybe because she may feel that they're not selling, And then if I don't see it, then I'm not going to buy it. But I did like the issues that I was buying. It's just that it kind of cut off. And now I've been in such heavy concentration with Image, catching up with Image's books. Image is really becoming a top-flight thing. So we will definitely put more emphasis on some of these comics. Next week we'll delve into it, I assure you. Moving things along a little bit, you know, we've spoken about this before. Is Man of Steel 2, Batman versus Superman, is this just really, why don't you just call it the Justice League? Because there's just more and more stuff coming out about more actors being vying for roles that's just going to make this a hot mess. So, I don't know. El Mayembe, the guy that runs Latino Review, his track record is not that spotty. I see some folks want to say that his track record is spotty. I think for what he does, he's pretty accurate on some of this stuff. So anyway, according to El Mayembe from Latino Review, he's saying that Zack Snyder is now looking for an athletic 20s for a cameo, and they're saying that may be the cyborg Victor Stone character, and that there's also talk about John Stewart again. So, you know, hey, that's it's good news, I guess. I mean, listen, you know, these actors are black. They're black characters. It's just you kind of blackface kind of thing going on here, I don't think. But I think it's just going to be a mumbled, jumbled mess. Whereas Batman versus Superman in the title, which will probably be changed. But that title is pretty defined. So to go from that to 3, 4, 5, 6 characters on top of those two, I'm not sure what to think. I, for some reason, I'm not as excited as I should be. On paper, you would figure the Afro Nerd would be elated. But for some reason, it looks like they're just throwing this crap together. 2015, now it's 2016. Daryl, is this really the Justice League or what?
Of course it's really the Justice League. They're just gutless enough not to name it that. They want to ride on Man of Steel's coattails. Man of Steel 2. Wait, Batman versus Superman. Wait, Batman versus Superman introducing Wonder Woman. Wait, Batman versus Superman introducing Wonder Woman with Denzel Washington as Lex Luthor. Scratch that. Denzel Washington as Green Lantern. Scratch that. Denzel Washington as Jon Stewart. Scratch that. Hey, we're going to have a Latino Flash. Scratch that. Hey, we're going to have... Make up your mind. Just make up your mind, okay? A quick aside, seeing the new cyborg suit, yeah, DC doesn't know what they're thinking. Now back into movie mode. Listen. I said before, I'm tired of them just throwing stuff out there to see. Let's see the reaction of everybody. This is a very Vince McMahon type move. Vince McMahon owns WWE, okay? And there's been hundreds of wrestlers, okay, over here. There's been a lot of wrestlers that he's thrown out a gimmick for him, that we've all moaned and groaned and said, no, why can't he just use the gimmick he came in with, all right? Why can't he be what he was? And he's been stubborn and steadfast that the gimmick will work and the regular audience see the gimmick and McMahon pulls it within 2 or 3 weeks. So you spent hundreds of thousands of dollars building up to drop the wrestler because, not because the wrestler couldn't wrestle, but because the gimmick was bad. That's what DC is doing here. But they're not spending any money. They're using shows like ours. They're using blog sites. They're using news stuff like CBR and Newsarama and Comic Book Movie and Latino Review to float all of this out here. This is a plan to just keep the movie in our consciousness, at the same time keeping us all confused. All right? The problem is, with every one of these things you do, you raise the public's hopes up for a fantastic, balls-to-the-wall, 5-star, I got to go see it 3 or 4 times type movie. And you know what? DC, out of the second Nolan Batman movie, you have not produced one of those. Captain?
Oh, one more thing. Before let me interject quickly because we got about 4 minutes remaining. You know, we failed to note that Seth Green came out and spoke about his feelings toward Ben Affleck. That, you know, again, we have a person that's in the business that you would figure would be political. He wasn't political because he's a nerd first. He's an actor and producer second. We know Seth Green from
Robot Chicken.
Robot Chicken. So, Captain, what about Seth Green coming out and saying, "Hey, this looks like a hot mess," on top of what Daryl just discussed?
Well, it's good that finally someone told the truth, because political correctness is killing us here in America. It is a hot mess, and Daryl nailed it. Daryl nailed it. That's exactly what they're doing. It is a hot mess. There really isn't anything more to add to that. It's a hot mess, and what Daryl said on his informational diatribe, he nailed it. So I can't add or take anything away from that. That's just what it is. Back over to you, Sir Ackleberry.
Wait, but the
all
only
right, minutes. Hold on, Daryl. We got 3 minutes. I want to throw this out as well.
Okay.
Gotham. Is Gotham? Gotham. We see that Jada Smith has been tapped to do maybe a year as a villainess. This, you know, there's talk about a young Joker, young Riddler, Harvey Bullock. Although that casting, I'm with that casting. I thought the actor.
Yeah.
He looks like Harvey Bullock, but at the end of the day, it seems like this is going to be DC's version of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, this is their version of the Graysons, which they never released. You introduce all the bat villains to a child Bruce Wayne before they become villains. Except you're following Commissioner Gordon's heritage. You know, again, we got to see the show, but from how it's described, everything we use to hate on the Graysons, we could use to hate on this too.
I would say so. We got about a minute and a half, so we're going to have to end up closing the shop, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have to pick this up and reconvene next week. I want to like this Gotham. I do. I want to. But a Batman prequel, this is probably going to end up just being another cop procedural drama with the Gotham PD and then shadows of what is to come. And that may work. That may work, but at the core, it's going to be, you know, NYPD Blue. It's going to be Law and Order. It is. It has to be. Law and Order, NYPD Blue, any other police procedural drama we've seen for the last 40 years, and just have in the backdrop the shadows of what is to be. That's it.
Yeah, echo David Walker here. They should have just done Gotham Central.
Gotham Central. All right, listen, less than a minute. Daryl, as always, you got to head up.
Enjoy, folks.
We appreciate your support.
And happy birthday, Nina Simone.
Thank you very much for that. Afternoon Radio coming up next.
Spock with a beard?
I think not. You ever see those lippins on her stallions?
What?
From Portugal. The lippins on her stallions. Most highly trained horses in the world. They're all white.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You're aware they're all white, or yes, sir, you've seen them?
Yes, sir, I've seen them. Yes, sir, I'm aware that they're all white. They're not from Portugal, they're from Spain. And at birth, they're not white. They're black. Sir.
I didn't know that. But they are from Portugal.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in the cosmos, where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bird, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
It's the second inning, folks, and this is the Grindhouse, courtesy of Afro Nerd Radio, and this is Afro Nerd Radio. The call-in number, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. I want to thank once again, as always, the uncanny Daryl B. for his support for the last hour. We're in a new phase now, so we're going to talk about things that are a little bit more serious, just a skosh more serious. So without further ado, let's go to a quick urban alt groove, black rock, psychedelic soul. You know what we do. This is Rocket Juice and the Moon. Hey Shooter with Erica Badu, and the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble. Oh, folks, let's get to it. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
Thank you.
give you the best of urban alternative groove once again. That was Rocket Juice and the Moon, a supergroup featuring Erykah Badu, and that cut was Hey Shooter, Erykah Badu, Hypnotic Brass Ensemble, and Thundercat, Rocket Juice and the Moon. Without further ado, let's just get into it. Captain, you're needed in engineering once again. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Now, I'm going to just do this for feces and giggles. I'm going to do this just for feces and giggles, and I'll be brief. Remember, the truth is always stranger than fiction. The truth is always stranger than fiction. The writer of Behold a Pale Horse, William Cooper, now dead, mentioned this, what I'm about to mention, many years ago. David Icke mentioned this, and a few others. Jeff Rentz is another person. You can look these people up in case you do not know who they are. Open source all over the internet in case you do not know who they are. These individuals said there's a certain group of people that run the world. They have a name called Illuminati. Now, truth is never mentioned by the MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, unless they are left with no choice, unless the stink builds up so much where you cannot cover it up anymore. Just as I said here on this show about the CIA destabilizing countries around the world, and that truth came out because they were left with no choice. That's not something they want the American people to know, because since Vietnam, when the people know the truth, you have to change what you do abroad. So they never like the people to know what's really going on. Doesn't matter anymore. The people are processed. They're a bunch of idiots, wage slaves, a bunch of conformists. They don't know anything what's going on. Now what comes out, according to Forbes, according to Russia Today, according to BBC, and open source all over the internet, the 85 richest people in the world have as much wealth as 3.5 billion poorest. That is $110 trillion. Let me repeat that. 85 richest people in the world have as much wealth as 3 poorest. Now, that is $110 trillion. Not billion, trillions, trillions. What does this say? That William Cooper was right all along. David Icke was right all along. These are special people. These are your decision makers. What did the captain say? You hunt down about 300 people around the world, you change the world. Stop with all these foolish wars. All you have to do is follow the money trail. Real simple. But here's the problem. The conformist can never see what's really going on because you're a conformist. The rebel sees because of their internal hatred. But the problem with the rebel is they lack the frequency times Planck's constant that equals energy. They lack the force times distance per unit over time. That equals power. Power always and energy always flows to the conformist. The conformist checks the rebel, meaning which, when you say certain things, you brandish rebels as heretics. You brandish rebels as conspiracy, even though they have the facts. You brandish rebels as lunatics. This is what you do with rebels. Until, based on what the rebel does, they meet up with other rebels, and then the powers that be cannot check all the rebels at once anymore, then they have to tell you what's going on. So this is why this information comes out. The 85 richest people in the world have as much wealth as 3.5 billion poorest, which is $110 trillion. Now let's start the show. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
All right, let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, welcome to the Grindhouse, and welcome to calling in, giving us your questions, your protestations, what have you, whatever you'd like to discuss. We will get into it, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. I'm sure the captain and our listenership, that they're keenly aware that this Michael Dunn case, although it has already been adjudicated to a certain degree, we do know that there's an aspect of it that was controversial in its findings and a mistrial on one count has definitely caused many in the black community to have concern and to be very vocal about it and to have an investment in this case. And this is coming in after the verdict with George Zimmerman. You know, I'm the contrarian. The captain has a contrarian edge as well. I honestly think we try not to be. This is not shtick. It's not shtick. What it is I referencing to Carol, who has his own imprint on YouTube, referencing him. I just feel that there's an argument, whether it's from the black side of things or the white side of things, that can be deconstructed. When you put forth an argument, you better be sure that it can really hold its water. And there are things going on internally with us that just do not hold water. And when you hear black media, and even mainstream media, but in this case, I listened to a great deal of media the last 2 weeks. And I'm listening to someone who I would consider a colleague, and also I'm a frequent caller on the show, Rob Redding. You can go to reddingnews.com. But he's not the only one. Everyone that I have listened to on the progressive side, on the black side of things, there's a heavy emphasis on this being a racial incident and that it has to be seen and adjudicated from a racial perspective. Problem with this is that there are other things, as I expected them to be. I predicted that there's going to be things coming up that are going to be bold-faced for the African-American community to discuss that are similar, and that you're not going to be able to come up with this racial argument. I don't really care that if there was a racial element to the Jordan Davis case or not. I do not care about the reasoning. I want folks to understand exactly where I'm coming from, and I want you to be able to deconstruct what I'm saying. There's such a great deal of black young death. Why are we concerned about the specific causality? For some reason, it matters to some in the black community, I should say many, not some, to many in the black community, in looking at this Jordan Davis case, it matters to them that Michael Dunn be labeled a racist. It matters. And if you hear all the outlets and if you look at all the media prints, talking about The Root now, The Root just keeps on coming up with all these articles about they refuse to look at this racially. But why is it concerning you that it's a racial element when it could have easily been hot talk between nothing but black people? If it was a black shooter dealing with youth culture, and we've seen these cases come up within the last week, incidentally, there's no focus on it. They're not really getting into it. Black folks don't seem to care, and yet the result is the same. The result is the same. So when you're talking about the amount of black death. See, the issue is there's too many young black males specifically, but black females too. Black females are dying, but mostly black males. Dying, hot talk is involved. And the captain and I are going to discuss this hot talk element. See, there's something, this is why there was a mistrial on one count, on murder, because the public just wants a simple story. The simple story was Michael Dunn heard thug music. There was hot talk between the youths that were in the car and Mr. Dunn. Mr. Dunn, he's a monster. They're shenanigans. I'm not going to discount that. But we've seen black youth engage in weird looks. If you look at someone, if you diss me in some way, if there's some kind of hot talk, the result is still the same. Why are we invested in this case when the hot talk was there? We saw hot talk in some fashion with Zimmerman. I'm no fan of Zimmerman because I see Zimmerman's comportment after all of this stinks. But we can never have a discussion in the black community about the hot talk. Now, we see callers. We're going to get to the callers. But I'm going to play a clip from the Armstrong Williams show with a caller that unpacks this notion of hot talk that black people don't want to talk about, because my thing is, ladies and gentlemen, is that there's an aspect to how this is playing out in black media where black folks are more comfortable in being right than being righteous. They're more comfortable. It's right to play your music however you want to play it. It's right to dress however you want to dress. And, yeah, we can take that stance, but I'd rather be righteous and living than right. Please deconstruct this for me. Put a hole in my argument. I don't think you can, because the results are the same, but black folk, many, not all, seem to be invested if there's a racial brand on it. And right now, the numbers are spinning, and we're concerned about being right. I'm concerned about knocking it off and having more young black men walking about alive and breathing. Let's play this clip, then we'll answer the calls, the naysayers, to call in and deconstruct what I'm talking about. Let's get to it. Hold on.
Yeah, where Mike has been patiently holding. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Armstrong. Yeah. I'm just curious, and before I say this, I get a racist reaction to it, but I'm not. I'm just being sort of hypothetical and kind of thinking through the process. Take color out of it. Take the Trayvon Martin situation, take all color off of it, or just make all the participants the same color. And when I think about it, I've got a teenage son, and as all this has happened, I've talked to him a lot about these things. Whether you're white, black, brown, or green, at the end of the day, if my son, I told him this, if you're walking through our neighborhood late at night, and it's a nice neighborhood, but if you're walking through the neighborhood late at night and some grown man walks up to you and says, who are you and what are you doing here? I said, look, you need to say to him, I live at that house down that street, walk with me to my front door, and we'll knock on the door, and my dad will come to the door. So in particularly in that case, I would say to him, show some respect, tell the truth, you're here appropriately, and you're here, there's no problem. And so in both of these cases, it's almost like we could have been de-escalated real quickly by the kid. Now everybody's going to say, well, no, the kids are kids. And that may be true, but there still was a little different way these things could have played themselves out. Am I crazy?
No, you're right.
Well, first of all, for me, I was taught not to talk to strangers. So if a stranger comes up to me and I feel in any way threatened, I'm not going to engage that person in the manner that you're speaking of.
That's but you need to hear his wisdom, though. That may not be the wise
wisdom,
thing to
but
do.
But it's not wise.
Well, but it can be wise.
It cannot.
On the,
listen to what he's saying.
You're sounding like
you're
a 26-year-old
now. Outside
no,
in the
no,
dark, and a
you're
stranger
in neighborhood.
Comes up to you.
Whatever
you're in the neighborhood,
save your
outside
life
in the dark.
Anything
you guys, someone comes up and questions you.
Can I ask him a question, though?
What?
Are you
see,
guys
let me make this point. See, Jerry, see, Mike, let me tell you this. When you listen at Charlton, this tells you why a lot of these young people end up 20 feet under, okay?
Yeah.
You understand his attitude?
But the
you can't tell him
between
anything.
Between me and okay. that guy, it'll be the other person because I'm not the type to sit there and let a stranger in
you
the dark
know
question
what somebody
me.
Else is
if
going to do.
If Armstrong
know what
comes up to
in.
Me in the dark in my in any neighborhood, he will be the one 6 feet. I'm not the type of person
you
to take chances.
You say that. You don't know what anybody
but
else is capable of doing.
I know what I'm capable of doing.
Example of escalation versus de-escalation.
Exactly. I'm the type to
right
escalate
here?
It and end it so that I'm sort of the survivor.
That's what you think you will do.
No,
that's what you think you will do.
That is science. That is natural
gentlemen.
Selection
this is,
at its best.
That's what you think you will do.
That is science.
You are
naive. Innovation.
Gentlemen,
of yourself.
Let's
you,
be orderly.
All,
you may not be the only one packing.
Oh,
that's
mercy.
My point.
Listen,
so and that and that, that's
the
why these
here.
Situations went the way that they did because the other person weren't. Was it the
it's,
coward
it's
was
because
the one
both
packing?
Si- both sides
that's
escalated.
What happened.
Both sides escalated.
But my point is, if anyone walks up on me in the dark in a neighborhood, you're playing yourself.
You assume that you're packing when they walk
no,
up.
No, I'm assuming that you think I'm a sucker because if you come up
it's
to me,
it's not about your being a sucker.
It is.
Oh, wait,
it,
wait,
that's
wait,
the
so
whole
wait, wait,
point.
Wait, just
if,
hold
and
on,
if
guys.
You walk up to me at night time and I don't know you, I will hurt you.
You
okay,
think you
if
will.
If I feel threatened,
that's what you think.
That is the simple end
God.
All of all
what
deals.
What a big talker.
Let
I'm
Mike
meet
finish.
You
yeah,
late
yeah,
at night.
Mike, go ahead.
So,
what did you say, Mike?
Well, yeah, I'm curious. And actually, I mean, my point is proven kind of in this circumstance.
Yeah,
100%.
But I would also say this. That, and I'm once again, I wasn't there. I hadn't read any of the transcripts. I know nothing about the testimony of the witnesses in this latest case. But let's just assume for sake of discussion that the defendant drove up and these kids were playing loud music. Etc. Let's just say he politely rolled his window down and said, "Hey guys, how about would you mind turning the music down?" And if they said, "No, no problem, fine, no, we're sorry," you know, just a little respect, turn it down, and kind of he's gone in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, went in and get some crackers, a Coke, whatever, and he's gone. He has no, there's nothing that's going to happen. I mean, that to me,
go.
And once again, I told my son the same thing. I said, look, you may love music. I'm a rock and roll freak myself. I like loud music. But if somebody says to me, hey, would you mind turning that down, just out of a sense of courtesy, I go, sure, I'll turn it down. And
absolutely.
I'll turn it back up when I hit the road. So there's
but,
kind of this weird disconnect somewhere in here.
Mike, this is what happened, Mike. This is what happened.
Charlton represents the hotheads of this country.
No,
you're
down again. If you don't have, you have no right to tell me anything, first of all. No one, that's the first
listen to that, David. Listen
to
that, David.
That's the truth. If
yeah,
I play my music, it's this
hey,
the truth, though.
This
if you tell me to turn my music down, I don't think it's loud
the
enough.
Leah,
because
Charlton,
that's
why
the problem.
Don't you something tonight?
It's
Charlton.
The adults that are killing the kids.
Charlton.
I'm the one that's voicing the opinion
listen
of the dead
elders.
People.
Listen
if
to
we
elders.
Listen to you guys,
Charlton.
We would still
try
be dead.
Try a little humility.
If we listen to Charlton.
Try a little humility.
It's not. It's about
you know.
Humility will have you dead.
All right, enough of that. I'll unpack on that further, ladies and gentlemen. That was from Armstrong Williams, courtesy of SiriusXM. Now, Charlton, the younger person that was talking, he's a co-host. He's always reminding the listenership that he's 26. But I wanted you to hear this because you had a call that said, hey, listen, maybe if we worked on some de-escalation, maybe we worked on some things before we get to the point where we got to start killing each other. Now, Michael Dunn, I'm likening him to Charles Manson. You have people who are unhinged, and clearly in the wrong. But there's also another side where you see this young man, this is an educated young man, but he's of Generation Y, that says, listen, you can't tell me anything, you can't disrespect me, and it is what it is, and it's on. So this is the intelligentsia part of Generation Y, and he still doesn't believe that you can be approached. And I'm saying if someone comes to shoot you willy-nilly, that's a whole different thing. But there is something going on. No one wants to talk about the being alive and then being dead and then the in-between. The in-between is the hot talk. Somewhere somebody has to de-escalate. We understand these are young people. We understand that. But we can't impart some wisdom on the youth to tell them, hey, life, I said this jokingly behind the scenes with the captain, life incorporates two games, whack-a-mole and chess. Whack-a-mole and chess. As a black person, as a person of color, as a Latino male, you have to navigate in this universe as if you are a whack-a-mole. You know that game at the carnival. There's a mallet, and your head is sticking up, and you got to make sure you do not get whacked. Navigate. Same thing with chess. Chess is about strategy and about avoidance. Avoid and attack. Mental games, mental chess, critical thinking skills, knowing how to de-escalate, knowing to say, you know what, I don't know you, and I got to figure out a way to get out of this alive. But conducting, engaging, and hot talk, it only takes one out of the two to get out of this thing. But when you escalate as if, like this young man, educated, 26, you can't tell me anything. He said that. You can't tell me anything. So we never want to talk about hot talk. I'm talking about how do we maintain life with young black men. It's about being right. It's about being righteous. Let's go to the calls.
Hold on. Can I just...
Okay, go ahead. Caller, hold on. Sorry. Let's get to the calls after this, Captain. Go ahead.
I just want to recap the case real quickly in case people are somewhat underneath the rock. Because, you know, sometimes people are. You know, Michael Dunn shot 9 bullets into a car full of teenagers in the parking lot of a gas station in Jacksonville, Florida, in 2012. After he said he felt threatened when he told them to turn their music down. He said he thought he saw one of the teens, Jordan Davis, point a gun at him before he opened fire. Davis, 17, died of his injuries. Dunn, Michael Dunn, was convicted of 3 counts of attempted murder and 1 count of firing into an occupied car. But the jury deadlocked on a first-degree murder charge. Now, here's the thing now. Dunn is expected to be sentenced to spend at least 60 years in prison after being convicted on the 4 felony counts. This is what we're dealing with. This is where we are in 2014. Now let's get to the caller, and then we'll chop it up some more, sir.
415, welcome to the Grindhouse. Afternoon Radio, tell us who you are, where you're calling from. Welcome.
How's it going? It's Ja from the Bay. How's it going, fellas?
Very good, man. Very good.
What are your thoughts, sir? Man, so many things going through my mind. First of all, let's just be real. This is a distraction from the real issues. I'm not saying that this shouldn't be addressed or well, it has been addressed. The guy's going to be going away for a long time. But at the same time, I really think that a lot of these issues in the media are brought up to distract us from the real issues of what Captain so eloquently stated in the beginning of this program, that when you have 85 people in the world who have more wealth than 50%, 3 billion people in this world, that's the real issue. Because when you have all this stuff going on with the racism, things like that, that hurts. But when you focus in on that, you're not focusing on what's reality, which is that we are wage slaves. We're broke, and we're not being paid what we should be paid. So when we're focusing on the racism and being upset over the racism, which is valid, but when you just all your focus is on that, it distracts you from what is going on, which is the super rich and these corporations trying to take over. And you know, I think that they're trying to keep us as an underclass, so they make us focus on the racism. When you know, we're all broken, it's time for a revolution, if you ask me, because this is the biggest travesty is what's happening to everybody. White, yellow, brown, black, everybody is a wage slave. The corporations and the super riches are taking over, so they're trying to start a race war for the distractions. So that's just my opinion.
What about this case specifically, though?
This case specifically, okay. This is another thing why I'm talking about distraction, because with the racism, with this going on, I'm not too sure if it is racism. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, because you know what? I hear about a guy who shot another white guy who was texting in the movie theater. So, I mean, I think that there is an element of it. At the same time, I can't really say, like, if it is or isn't, because I think that they trump it up, a lot of these cases, because they want to distract us. So go ahead.
I want not to cut you off. That you're making my point right there,
mm-hmm.
because we can talk about so many nuances to the same thing. When you talk about an Arkansas case last week, very tragic, youthful indiscretions, all the participants were black. You had a father whose teenage son was originally pranking another set of teens. Those set of teens in turn retaliated, egging up his father's car, 1 o'clock in the morning. Then the father comes out as a nut, willy-nilly, starts blasting after these young people were simply egging or toilet papering his home and car, what have you. The, I believe, 60-year-old passenger, female passenger, in the car gets shot in the head because he reacted to youthful indiscretions. I remember another case, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. There wasn't a death, but there was a shooting with a 45-year-old male who did a black male who did kind of slaughter on Michael Dunn. He told a young black male who really none of his business, but he was affected. Young black male told him to pull his pants up. Hot talk. Young black male gets shot in the buttocks. Now, these are black participants, and one could say it's a war between youth, young and old, as far as culture is concerned. There's a little bit of that also with the Michael Dunn case, but many black folk and black media are invested in this has got to be about race. It seems like we are only motivated about race when there's a larger context with conflicts with youth culture. Now, someone's got to be able to deconstruct what I just said, because the Arkansas case is an overreacting middle-aged male confronting youthful culture, youthful indiscretions, not that unlike what happened with Michael Dunn. Listen, thug music is thug music. There is such a thing as black perception. Now, we can talk about if there were white youth playing Def Leppard, that's his culture. He's familiar with it. We can speculate that probably would not have turned out that way, rightfully or wrongfully. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm saying why can't we start to talk about the discourse that or the alleged discourse or the confrontation, and then the result? People seem to think, well, Trayvon was skipping in the rain with Skittles and iced tea, and then he got shot. We never talk about the in-between. Now, your sophisticated black teen has been able to navigate nonsense, the sophisticated person, young male and female, that we never hear about. He or she will tell you, oh, yeah, I've navigated some of this stuff. But because we're into, as a culture and as the media, we're into anti-intellectualism. We refuse to teach our young people certain cues to keep them alive. We don't want to keep them alive, Captain. We don't want to do that. We want to be right. We want to be right. You should be able to play your music the way you want to play your music. You should be able to dress the way you want to dress. But you know what? The world really does not operate that way. You are being judged. Matter of fact, to show you how phony things are, Captain, people are judging the black and white jurors that have spoken so far, But there's a black young juror that many would construe as not being physically attractive. She looks a little wiggy. Not conventionally attractive. I'm not going to dump on this woman. I'm not going to go there. But many people in the media and those who are invested in this thing are talking about how ugly this woman is, how strange she is, and of course she wouldn't get it. She's not going to talk about race. Now, everyone else, Captain, for this issue is comfortable in profiling this woman. When you and I profile, you can't do that. I don't get it. They're comfortable in profiling this woman. What am I missing?
Let me interject here. Back to the Michael Dunn case.
She's hard on the eyes. Well, I'm not going to dump on her. Go ahead.
What was supposed to happen was actually the same thing that was supposed to happen in the George Zimmerman case. Two ships passing in the night. You stop in a gas station. Let's say maximum. Most of the time in the gas station, you're there a minute and a half. But let's say maximum, 5 minutes, because you go in, you're looking for a particular cigarettes or, you know, some particular food. You know, these gas stations, you have these stops. You see the person playing the music, it irritates you, younger person or what have you. You go, oh, man, I'm out of here in 5 minutes. So you don't have to really say anything to them because you're not there that long. That's on his end as the older person. The young person, too, let's say the older person says something to you. So what, they said something to you? You don't have to be there. Not like you're there for an eight-hour shift. You're working. You're out of there in anywhere from a minute to 5 minutes. That's having the right deportment for the situation. And neither one had it. So it escalates. Now, why does it escalate? As per rule, people 40 and over, there's exceptions, have contempt for the younger generation, people under 40, as per rule. People 40 and over have contempt for the younger generation, as per rule. There's exceptions, but they do have contempt, rightfully so. All right? When you see, look on TV, and you see what's happening, who's getting arrested, who's going crazy, who's everything else, and how you were taught to respect adults, and a lot of these kids are being raised in a single-parent household, so they're not getting the same kind of training. So that makes you have a certain perspective pertaining to young people. So you may feel threatened. That doesn't make it right. All right? Doesn't make it right. You may feel threatened when the hot talk starts to build up. As you could just see, the youth there, 26, you know, he's not that young. He's not like he's a 9-year-old. At 26, you're supposed to know. Older people say something to you, just go on, whatever. You know, no big deal. I had an older man who used to work in the place where I get my contact lenses. He had a bad attitude. He had a bad attitude because he was getting old and his body was breaking down. Eventually, he retired, which was a good thing. And he would make these snotty remarks. You know what I would say? I said, I could check him because he can't really match wits with the captain. I said, I'm going to let it go because he's more than 30 years older than me, and I understand his situation, and I'm in there for about 20 minutes, and I'm out of there. That's me. But you see, the younger person wants to engage with the older person. What does the older person do? The older person is not going to fight with the younger person. Strength is to the youth. Well, as you get older, you're supposed to get wiser due to your experience. Neither one were wise in this situation. But by the way, you know you're not going to fight with a younger person. You pull your gun out. You felt threatened. This is what's happening. So, again, youth culture. It's not supposed to be happening on either end. But youth culture, they're not getting the proper training. And then we want to automatically say, well, it was a race issue. It was this. You just had a black guy that just let his gun go there in Arkansas. Come on, what's going on? Black on black. No one says anything. So it's a youth dynamic. That's what it is. And they're not getting the proper training. When we came up, Afro-Nerd, myself, and other people who are older, you saw adults, you just said, okay, keep it moving. Yes, sir, no, sir, you keep it moving. Even when they're wrong, you could walk off, you know, but I don't have to engage with you. That's a waste of time. I don't even get engaged with young people. Whatever, man, just keep it moving. That's it. That's what was supposed to happen. Two ships passing in the night did not take place. So you have this outcome. So the point is now, how do you keep the young person safe, the young black youth? They're not getting the training. That's the reality of it. It's not about, this is Afro Nerd said, it's not about being right. It's not about being wrong. It's about keeping yourself safe. You're coming home at the end of the night. That's all I'm saying. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yes, Captain. I want to play another clip, but before I get to this clip, you know, I was actually looking for comic effect, my Rube Goldberg music, you know, from the cartoons. And for those who are familiar with the term Rube Goldberg, I always bring this historical figure up. Rube, R-U-B-E, Rube Goldberg was a well-known artist, and he would always draw these wild contraptions. Matter of fact, you've seen it for comic effect in print and especially in cartoons and even maybe the Pee Wee Herman movie. Rube Goldberg was known for drawing these wild contraptions, these wild devices where you have machinery, the machinery thing in a like a room full of contraptions that you drop a ball, the ball goes down a chute, the chute knocks over a playing card, it knocks up against a toaster, the toast pops up, this big thing, and then all of this in order to flip an egg. And it's comical. Now, what is Afro-Nerd talking about? That's how I see black life for the segment that doesn't get it. Rube Goldberg, in other words, you go through a series of comical events in order for you to somehow end up dead. We've clearly seen this. I've unpacked on this Rube Goldberg black life thing. And that's what I see is going on. I conduct my life in a way to be pretty consistent and to avoid certain obstacles and to avoid interacting. In an instant, you could be out of here. We've seen things where one day a person has a limb, the next day he doesn't. I mean, those are true accidents, but at the same time, I mean, when you start to get into some of these stories, you start to see this person made move B to move C to move D, where he should have done a move C. We're doing certain things because we don't want to be honest, and a simple de-escalation and Trayvon Martin would have still been breathing. And I look at life as a series of decisions. And you better be very conscious. We joke about pot smoke, and especially now since many states are looking to legalize marijuana. We heard about young Master Martin having marijuana in his system, and we make light of that like it's no big deal. But we've got to start to talk about, especially being a young black or brown male, that when you walk this earth, you need to have a clear, conscious, working, sophisticated mind. We've got to start imparting the notion of sharpness. I'm attracted to pop culture figures like Batman and Sherlock Holmes and Black Panther because they are smart, always thinking. I make it as a game. When I talk to the Oracle, the tangential producer of the show, my father. When I talk to the honor guard, Mr. Starks, we always joke about outwitting certain folks. Just in our daily routines, outwitting them, playing on false perceptions. That's something that was very much part of the black experience 40, 50 years ago. Outwitting. The slaves would talk about outwitting the master. This is a chess game, people. The lack of critical thinking has diminished since 1990. This is real. Look this up. recent generations do not have critical thinking abilities. This is true, and this is working into young death. Tyson Beckford's cousin, you can look this up recently, maybe 2 weeks ago, he's being held responsible killing a bus driver. He was partying with his cousin, Tyson Beckford, the model, 22 years of age. He's drinking. He gets into a car, steals a car. All of a sudden, Rube Goldberg goes into effect. He ends up getting into an accident. He's unscathed with a bus. The bus goes into a building. The bus driver is ejected. He's dead. Now he's in prison for vehicular manslaughter. This is Rube Goldberg, folks. It's a series of poor decision-making. He's 22. You see, this is why I really jest with younger folk who think they know it, but you're not sticking around long enough. You're not making it. We see Mr. Bieber, poor decision-making, $100 million liquid, from my understanding, this young man has. $100 million liquid, and you're in jail. You're not going to make it, son. You don't know that much. Your decision-making is very poor. And we see, but his white complexion is going to perhaps give him that edge. Black folks, you don't have it like that. You got to be smarter. That's all I'm saying. Can you deconstruct it? That's all I'm asking. All right, listen. I'm not even going to go to a groove. We got 12 minutes remaining. I'm going to go to a conversation I had on SiriusXM with young Miss Shawn Renee, which I will discontinue because it irritates me. It irritates me. Utter logic, Captain. Now listen to this. Listen to this waste of time. I gotta know how to cut this. Listen to how we want to be right we'd rather be right than be alive. See, Malcolm X, Dr. King, Medgar Evers, they wanted to be right. They're no longer alive, but their fight to be right was worth it. See, it's different to be right and to change society. It's another thing to be right and to get shot in a gas station. I'm just putting it out there, folks. If you're going to be right, make sure it's worth it. Let's go to this clip, and I got to stop this.
It's difficult. You wanted to say something there? Oh, okay. Let's see. We're going to go to Afro Nerd. What's going on?
Good morning, Shona.
How are you?
Okay.
Good. What's up?
A couple of things. You were talking about perception. I think there's a Dave Chappelle routine. So Dave Chappelle really is a genius. He said something in the routine that I would advise your listenership to check out. Very funny, but very poignant. He says, the joke basically goes concerning women, the perception of women, that women should always be respected. Even if they're wearing something suggestive, they should always be respected. But he says it's effing confusing. If Dave Chappelle says, if I were a cop dressed as a police officer, imagine someone coming up to me asking for help. Oh, please help me, we're in trouble. And he says, how dare you think just because I'm dressed like a police officer that I should help you? And he says, the hook of the joke is, women, you may not be whores, but you're wearing a whore's uniform. I think it was pretty much funny, but dead on target as to what's happening with some of us in our communities, that we do not want to get up off of what we contribute to our perception. We are contributing to some of this. Some of it. We have to capitulate. We're asking police officers, we're asking the government, we're asking all these folks, these institutions, and maybe rightfully so, to make some changes. But we start to ask for correction on the part of our own, with what Dr. Cosby did 10 years ago. He gets lambasted. He gets critiqued. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. And he says your dirty laundry is being exposed 3 p.m. every afternoon, your children out and out after school.
Mm-hmm. Let me just say this. I get where you're coming from, and I think you're right to a certain degree. And let's just use that Dave Chappelle example, okay, since you brought that up. And I don't know if I remember saying that. But so if someone walks up to a police officer who is dressed in a uniform or a person who is dressed in a police officer's uniform and asks for help and the person is like, what are you doing? They would be confused. All right. I think we have to be careful, though, because I know what a police officer's uniform looks like. It's very clear to me. There's no gray area. There's no area for a subjective analysis there. You understand? Or an objective analysis there. It's very clear what it is. What you might see as a whorish outfit, someone else might see as a cute outfit. You see, just like what you might see as a thuggish outfit, someone else might see as a trendy outfit. So we have to be careful, though. So it can't just be, and I don't think, I think it shouldn't be beyond maybe 10% if we're going to put it in percentiles, if we're going to quantify it. It should not be that we are overly concerned with how people look. We need to be overly concerned with how people behave, because I can walk out of the studio with a little mini dress on and get into my car and go have coffee with my friends, and we could be sitting here having this intellectual discussion about politics or femininity or feminism or whatever. And you can make the assumption that because I'm dressed a certain way that I'm a whore and treat me as such. And then there could be another girl who walks out of the house in jeans and Timberlands on her way to the Motel 8 or whatever, motel, whatever it is, to go actually have sex with a man for money. She just, it's really more about your actions than it is how you look. And I think we've got to be very careful with that. And so the reason I get real offensive, very offended when it comes to women, is because I don't leave it up to a man to determine whether or not I'm dressed like a whore, because that really has to do with what's on his mind. And I ain't got time to be worried about what happened in your life and what your perceptions are and your mama issues and your grandmama issues and your insecurities. Just like I don't really have time to be concerned with some of these white people and their issues and whether or not their perception of me is from television, reality, their friends, or whatever the case may be. It's part of it, very small part of it, though. Very small part of it.
But listen, I'm not going to disagree with you on some of what you're saying. I'm saying that we have to get to the point where we have to start to save some lives and not be so concerned about trying to prove something. I think what you're saying really goes into, well, we don't want people to think of us. Who cares what people think of us as long as we comport ourselves? That's true. There should be a comportment aspect to how we move around in the universe. But there's the exception and there's the rule. And I think some of what you're saying is the exception. The rule dictates how some of these black folks are being treated. We cannot continue to just move things along. Well, he or she should think better of me because I'm a good person. We don't have... What did Sweet Brown say, the meme, I ain't got time for that? The average person doesn't have time for that. I think you should try to present your best self when you go out in the universe so you can stay alive. We can try to...
But that, what does my best self have to do with, you know, what I wear? I just think we've got to be very careful, because that takes, that just eliminates any responsibility for the other person to actually do the work to determine who I am. You know, I walk out, again, I'm going to walk out into this world the way I choose to walk out into this world. Now, I understand that that may mean that some people are going to perceive me one way, but that's only part of the problem. The other part of the problem is that your perception is based upon your mess, and you need to do something with your mess as well. So we agree. I got to let you go because we got a lot of calls. We agree, but to a lesser extent than maybe we have before.
All right.
Listen.
Enough.
Listen. Just a bunch of nonsense. Perception is reality. The captain goes out the door and puts on a do-rag and a tank top. I am a thug. And that's just what it is. My look, there you go. When I dress up, you know what I look like? I look like a detective. I'd rather look like a detective than a thug. Perception is reality. No one has time to say, well, you know, he might be a nice guy. He has on a do-rag and he has on a tank top and he got muscles. Okay, he doesn't have tattoos, though. Doesn't have tattoos, but I still don't. I'm pulling my strap, as they would say in the street, or my gat, you understand? And I'm going to let him have it because that's just how I would look. So I don't wear. I don't even really wear tank tops anymore. I don't even do that because I'm, you know, I'm so muscular, a little too much pronounced. You know, I don't even do that anymore.
Listen, Captain.
Perception is reality, man.
You know, behind the scenes, we spoke about this, and I spoke to the Oracle about this. We got about 3 minutes remaining. I'll make it quick. Last week, tragedy, Brownsville, Brooklyn, known area of criminal infestation, an area that should be profiled, but, you know, I'm supposed to be politically correct, so I can't say that, but people will continue to die. No one wants to address, get into it. Anyway, a elderly man, 74 years of age, retired, respectable, lives in a project, and he went out to smoke a cigar, has Parkinson's, goes on an elevator, sees four black young males, hooded up, hats on, hoods, out of a criminal, animalistic act. They beat this elderly person, take $150 from him. He's barely hanging on. Now, probably, Captain, he says, oh, well, you know, they have hoods. They're black teenagers. I can't think ill of them. I got to think beyond that. I can't really do the profiling thing. So he refuses the profile. God bless his heart. He walks in into this elevator. He's not the instigator. He's giving them the benefit of the doubt, Captain. Now he's hanging on to dear life. And his children are asking why. And the uniform is there. The street uniform is there. And folks like Sean Renee thinking like many black people, like there's never a consistency to anything. You have to question everything. She says that, well, you know, just because you say it's a thug uniform doesn't mean it really is one. Just because you say it's a whore's uniform doesn't mean it's really one. That means that nothing is anything. Nothing is nothing. Nothing is what it is, Captain. There's no baseline, and this is why black young males are going to continue to die, because no one wants to be honest that there's such a thing. If you put in, and I've done it, I've gone through the algorithms, ladies and gentlemen, go to Google, put in thug culture, put in thug uniform, put in thug clothing. There is a baseline to this. It's really not that murky. It's not that murky. But when you speak to some black folks, they will tell you, you really can't say things that he's a thug. You really can't say she's dressed like a whore. But people do make the judgment, but they don't want to be honest, and the deaths will continue. That's it. You got a minute. Captain, any thoughts?
Nothing more to add or to take away. Well said, sir. Well said. Afro, I think your mic went out. Your mic.
I'm sorry. What makes it really disgusting is that we'd rather be right than alive. It's not funny, but it's more funny than sad. All right, folks. It's been real. Let's get into it. This is Feeling Good, Nina Simone. See you on Wednesday.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good.